This is Richard with PiratePods.com. We're sitting down in the studio with DJ Babu from the world-famous Dilated Peoples, here to discuss his latest project, the Beat Tape Volume 1. Babu, it's a pleasure to have you with us, man.
What's up, man? Good to be here.
All right. Now, what exactly is the motivation behind putting out a beat tape, or the purpose, let the fans know why you do it?
Pretty much it's been something I've been really passionate about, like, the last 5 years or so. And a lot of people know me from my DJing,
right.
You know, which is like a blessing. You know, a lot of people know me from DMC and Vestax battle tapes and ITF battles and all that good stuff, and from the work I've done with my crew, the Beat Junkies.
Right.
So, but, you know, obviously, you know, getting with Dilated over the years, it really sparked that interest I've always had of being, you know, behind the scenes making beats and chopping up samples and flipping it. So, you know, I've just been amassing beats like the last few years, and, you know, the hustling beats is a tough hustle, very competitive. So, you know, for me, like, I don't really trip on it, man. You know, I give people beat CDs, but, you know, I'm really over, you know, just giving beat CDs out and just crossing my fingers. Hopefully they even listen to it. You know?
Right.
Most of them probably hit the bottom of a car. You know what I'm saying? It's just a whole bunch of piles of other CDs. But, you know, I'm just trying to build my own lane. I'm just trying to get my beats out there, brand my sound, and let people know, like, you know, I'm real deal and serious on these beats. So, you know, and I was like, I'm just sitting on all these beats. You know,
right.
I'm gonna just throw like 32 out there for them and just let them marinate. You know, start a new series. And, you know, beats are beats, man. You know what I mean? So I just want people to hear what I've been doing in the lab, you know?
Right. Putting you up there with the likes of Pete Rock and Jay Dilla, and it's time for you to put out a culmination of yours.
I mean, I got a long way to go before you can really put me in that sentence. You know what I'm saying? Two people I really looked up to and admired and, you know, took a lot of notes from, and big fans of, on top of that. But, yeah, definitely. I come from that school of production.
It's time for you to put yours out.
Trying to,
exactly. Okay, now, the beat tape was released through Nature Sounds. Is that correct? And how did that collaboration come about?
Well, the man at Nature Sounds, Devin, he's been a friend for many years. I actually know him from High Times magazine. That's where
okay.
I first met him. He used to work over there, and Dilated did a feature in that magazine many years ago. And that's how I initially met him. He went on to do High Times Universal kind of label deal with High Times,
right.
And Universal Distributing. And you know, he ended up putting out Defari's Odds and Ends.
Yeah.
And, through the years, I just kept in touch with Devin because he's a dude I just always, you know, really hit it off with. And, you know, so I've been watching what he'd been doing. He left Universal High Times thing, started his own thing, Nature Sounds. You know, we keep in touch. How's it going? Send me 12 inches. I was getting service like any other DJ. And I really liked what they had been doing over there. And when, you know, the time came, you know, I did my last two Duck seasons on a different label by the name of Sequence. And it didn't look like they wanted to do the third, so I was always looking for a new home while I was busy doing Dilated,
right.
Liquid Junkies, and it was an idea I was kicking around with Devin. So, and he's really embraced everything I've been doing with open arms and really trying to, like, put out what I do as a producer. He believes in me, and you know, I'm on a great roster with, you know, I'm like, you know, I look at the roster and I'm bugging out that I'm on it, you know. So, you know, he's doing good work, and I think, you know, Nature Sounds is like one of the premier indie labels right now in the hip hop scene, really putting a big dent out there. And yeah, man, that's why the merger happened. You know, I really like what they're doing as a DJ and a fan, and I kind of felt like it made a lot of sense for me. You know, I'm from the West, but I got this, you know, just real, no coastal kind of sound. It's more of a classic hip hop sound, and, you know, that's kind of the stuff that Devin's doing over there. So,
right. So
it's a nice home so far.
It's a little prematurely, but can we hope to see maybe a Duck Season 3 or Beat Tape Volume 2 coming out
with
them?
Duck Season 3 is, and I'm working on it as we speak. You know, that's what I've been doing these last few days, and it's, you know, the Beat Tape is kind of the prelude for Duck Season 3.
Right.
You know, Duck Season 3 is like the platform I've made for myself. It started off as a mixtape compilation, and I'd sneak on a couple joints I produced on there.
Right.
The second one, it was more like I produced most of the joints and I licensed a few. And this one's more like I'm just doing the whole thing now. And it's still
just
keeping that same format of giving it to you like a mixtape. You know, I mix it up a little bit to a certain extent to keep it moving. But, you know, I still give you all the MC's verses and let you hear the songs uncut and adultered, you know. So, but it's still in that format being like in a mixtape, you know. So, but then I'm also going to have the songs unmixed on vinyl, you know, for
right.
DJs to get at themselves. So I'm looking forward to it, hopefully in fall.
Very exciting, man. We look forward to it as well. Now back to the Beat Tape Volume 1. I gotta say, it's real you know, soulful, classic, like funky sound to it. You know, songs are very, very musical, like the Pimp Shit with the horns, and On Love with the piano, and Bug Guys with the violins. I'm really feeling it now. Come up with the titles for these beats, and once, if you know, these ever did come into complete tracks with vocals, would those names still necessarily be attached, or
those are more the names that I type into like the sampler when I'm working on the beat, you know, right. When I'm saving discs or I'm saving files of it,
just how you
and,
think of that.
And a lot of it is, to be honest with you, a lot of it is like I make up the names based around the record I started with.
Right.
You know, so down the line, if someone by chance is like, I have to deal with sample issues, I can remember what record I got it from. So a lot of those names are like, maybe like Bug Guys, that's what the record looks like. There's like these Bug Guys on the cover. You know what I'm saying? And so on and so forth. Every title has some kind of weird, it's funny, my 8-year-old son was looking at it when we got it in the mail finally, and he asked me on every single one why you named it like this, you know? And, you know, there's a couple on there I named out of emotion, and I named because it made me feel like something or sparked something, but a lot of times, like, I name junk to remind me of where I got the source, you know what I mean? And I can go back to that record and find out, you know, if I need to, what exactly I sampled, you know? Right. So, but yeah, if I worked with an MC on one of them beats and they took them, we would just treat it as a background and, you know, do something fresh to it, and it would find its own name in the process.
All right, ball from there. All right, now, how about the distribution of the beat tape? Now, I know I went down to the local Best Buy trying to pick it up, and I was only able to order it online. They didn't actually have any in the store.
Right.
What stores can we find them beyond, like, you know, a Fat Beats or Amoeba?
Yeah, I mean, it's more likely an Amoeba or Fat Beats, a Stax, you know, online is probably the best, most reliable way. But, you know, right now, Nature Sounds is distributed by Caroline. And for those of you who don't know, Caroline just went through a huge change in their distribution.
Okay.
You know, their urban department now, which is a lot of old people that had there for a long time working these accounts, they were let go. And, you know, what do you call it? Caroline and EMI have merged now, and pretty much EMI is now distributing all these things, these accounts at Caroline.
Right.
So, like, we're in the middle of an adjustment period. So, you know, on top of that, it's not really something we're attacking fully.
Right.
It's kind of like I said, it's a prelude to duck season, and it's not something that we're trying to get spins off of. And stuff like that. It's a first part of a series, and I'm just kind of letting it marinate and letting people know that I do this, you know, I'm doing these beats, and it's kind of really for the DJs, you know.
Yeah.
I think the presence is more the wax being out there.
Right.
And, you know, it's good listening too. You know, I try to make it an experience where you can listen, but at the same time, DJs can find it useful.
Let's talk a little bit about your history. I mean, I first became familiar with the youth through the Beat Junkies Volume 1, the whole turntablism movement. Do you consider yourself an innovator and how exciting was it for you in those years where you were doing the battle scene and just spinning a lot more and not focusing on production and just getting around?
Yeah, man, those are great times. It was like my glory days or something, you know what I'm saying? Like the old days, you know, it was a good time. I don't really necessarily think of myself as much as an innovator as I do of you know, maybe a purveyor.
Okay.
You know, I don't really think I made up anything new. I just think I did.
Took it around with
I just think I did the dopest things, and I did them really good, and I presented to them in a different way. You know, I felt at a time like, you know, you could go around the country and look at certain styles of DJs, from a Philly DJ to a New York DJ to a Frisco DJ to a LA DJ, and everyone had their strengths and their style quirks and whatnot. And I was a fan of everything. You know what I'm saying? And I think I took a little bit of everything and just. So I remember one point. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, West Coast DJs are crazy scratchers, they scratch really fast.
Right.
These East Coast guys, they're real funky and they really work two turntables and manipulate the beats, you know, through using two turntables. And, you know, and I liked both, you know, as much as I like keyboard, I liked Rock Raiden, you know what I mean? So, you know, I fused it all together and just made this new package of just being on some classic hip hop, you know what I'm saying?
So. Definitely.
So from there, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't think I was like Qbert or necessarily like a DJ Flair or somebody who just created new things that DJs weren't doing before, you know.
Right.
I think I just kind of like took the best elements of things that were there and just put my own style and twist on it and, put light to that, you know.
Yeah, well, I've definitely enjoyed it through the years.
Thanks.
Now, what's going on with the Beat Junkies? Can we expect any CDs to drop in the future?
Yeah, you know, everybody's doing their thing, but we're finally getting it together. Hopefully in 2008 you'll see the Beat Junkies LP, you know what I mean? And you know, we're like hired guns a lot, you know, over the years. Like we've kept our names alive and we've been doing it, but you know, we graduated at the same time of people like the Scratch Pickles and the Executioners. Right. We've seen them drop albums, and it was something that we just never just got it all together and had the time to do it, you know, from Rhett being with the Visionaries and J-Rock being a Stones Throw, the official Stones Throw DJ or whatever you want to call him, from Mello having his weekly gig in Las Vegas to his radio show to me being with Dilated. Like, it's just been really hard to get all four of us, five of us, you know, Shortcuts in Frisco, for Christ's sake, like DJs in the most holiest of holy places I've ever heard, you know, like, so it's like we're really trying to get it together this year and find a good distribution deal and do our album finally in our terms, and you'll see it, you know. It's not going to just be some mix, it's going to be the Beat Junkies making music the way we meant to do it years ago.
We're waiting patiently and very happy.
It's coming.
And okay, so let's touch on you. You're a family man, and how does that affect you as far as finding time to record and travel and perform, as well as still balance and find time for the family?
Yeah, it's hard work. There's nothing more or less to it. You know what I mean? Like, I go to bed late and I wake up early, and every hour is an hour accounted for. You know what I'm saying? You know, I look at it as like every hour that I'm wasting is an hour I could be with my kids, or I could be making a beat. You know. Or I could be getting a song done or something, you know what I mean? So it's a constant juggle, you know. There's times where I really wish there was 8 days in a week or there was another one of me sometimes, but, you know, I can't complain because this is how I've earned my freedom to be an artist on my own terms and do it like I want to do it, you know what I mean? I still scrape and I still work hard, and I, you know what I mean, sometimes I don't know where my next check is coming from, but it's everything I can do to, like, keep food on the table and not let my art
sacrifice
get watered down or having to make a compromise. I'm not ready yet. I'm still chasing the dream, and for lack of a better term, I'm still trying to keep it real fucking real and do what I do that I think is still dope to that same dude who used to just make beats and DJ in his mom's, you know, house, you know, his bedroom, you know. So I'm really still trying to just do it for the love, and it's, you know, anytime, you know, you're doing business and art together, it's always a catch 22 somewhere down the line. And you know, but I feel I found a really nice lane and a nice niche where I can continue to be me, and I can still live the lifestyle I want to live and take care of my family, put my kids through school and all that. So, and it's something I just believe I just have to continue to work hard and not take anything for granted. All these channels and all these lanes I have, I'm blessed, you know. I may not be on 50 Cent's new record, but, you know, I do have Liquid Junkies, Dilated Peoples, the Beat Junkies, Duck Season, the Beat Tape, Super Duck Breaks on Stone's Throw. You know what I mean? I've got all these things that I can express myself through and keep going. And, you know, I might not have a release that hits double platinum, but, you know, I could have, like, you know, three or four releases in 1 year that do pretty damn decent below the radar, and I don't have to clear samples, and I don't have to worry about some A&R who's a mountain climber and plays electric guitar, you know what I'm saying? So but it's all part of, like, you know, my hustle and just wanting to keep it pure as much as I can, man, because it's pointless for me to do anything else at this point. Like, from the trail I blazed to now, like, it's always been built on, you know, being about making real dope junk with no compromise and keeping skills in the forefront of what it is. And, you know, I could easily just, you know, cash in and just do some whatever, you know, but this is what I want to do, and I do it strictly because I love it, and it's cool that it pays the bills. But if I fell out of love with it, I'll go put the weight of my life on something else and get a job, and I'll make beats and cut it up in my room for myself just so I have something to listen to in the car. So that's what it is at the end of the day,
you know. And that's why you guys have held such a strong following to date, because you don't ever sacrifice anything, and we know that we're always getting Dilated sound. It's evident in everything that you put out.
It's a fight, but it's a good fight.
So. Definitely a good fight. It's honorable. Just real quickly, where did you get your name from? So what's the genesis behind that?
It's a cartoon character from back in the day. Embarrassing enough, like, for whatever style, flaw, or whatever it was at the time, I had both my ears pierced, and I had hoops in both ears. And one of my friends, older brothers,
I can't say I didn't.
he used to pick on me, and he used to always, the basketball court, he'd call me Babu, Yabba Dabba Doo, Babu. And then I found out much later, it became a nickname, but I found out much later that it was this cartoon character, Genie.
Okay.
And, you know, that was his little catchphrase. Yabble dabble. Yabble dabble. Yabble dabble.
Yabble dabble.
Yabble dabble. And then, fucking, you know, as I became a DJ, it just kind of stuck.
Stuck, yeah. All right, thanks for sharing that. All right, now who are your biggest influences over the years, whether it be a producer or MCs? Like, who really would you say you followed and taken a lot from to
develop? A lot of DJ Premier. I'm a big Premier fan, big Dilla fan. Pete Rock, like we mentioned before, right. Marley Marl is like one of the most OG cats. I mean, like, still his style of what he started on. Like, I listen to early Juice Cruise records, and I'm not really doing much different than what he was doing. You know, I'm delving into different records than he was,
right.
And now technology things sound cleaner, and there's more fidelity and stuff going on. But it's pretty much, you know, chopping samples and putting your drums to it, and finding a dope marriage between you and a raw MC. You know, so. And who else? You know, I'm a big 45 King fan. Dr. Dre, like, you know, all the early Eazy-E and early N.W.A. stuff is just, like, all the way up to Niggas for Life. Like, all that junk was just, like, all of Dre's joints were just crazy. And then who else am I a big fan of? I'm not... Showbiz, D.I.T.C., like, Diamond, like, all
Diamond
that.
D, yeah.
I was a big fan of whoever did the beats for MC Light and Audio 2, whether it was Milk D or I don't know who did the beats for them, but who else? I don't know.
Endless, right?
You can Endless. I keep going on. These are like those are most producer influences, you know.
Right.
And okay. Madlib, Can Kick. Yeah. Can I say definitely. Of course, you know.
West Coast classics. All right, now how old were you when you started spinning and really getting into the game on a serious level?
I was probably around 16.
16.
You know, because that's when I wanted turntables, and I couldn't. My mom went, you know, it just didn't make any sense. They weren't going to spend that much money. It's a lot of money now still,
definitely.
You know, but, you know, to buy a kid, but they thought it was a hobby. You know what I mean? Like, I was a hobby kid, you know, like just 6 months before that, you know what I mean? I wanted a bike with pegs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the week before that, I was a skater. You know what I'm saying? The week before that, like.
It's a large investment if you're not
exactly.
going to stick to it.
It wasn't like just like a, you know, $100.
New pair of sneakers.
It was almost $1,000 for a set of turntables, the ones you wanted. And there wasn't like an alternative.
Yeah.
You know, you're a Herb
no
if you
substitute.
Got up there and just tried to
use
some belt drive turntables.
No.
It just wasn't going down.
1200s.
So it made me get up off my ass, get a job, you know what I mean? And I earned the money for my first set of turntables. And you know, that's when I really got into it. And it was different for me, you know, beyond all them other hobbies I've been trying to in my early teens. And, like, I guess I learned a really good lesson. It just made me, like wow, you know what I mean? I paid for it. I earned it. Like, and I don't know if that had any bearing on making me stick with it, but, you know, that on top of me, like, finding a real knack for it, like, I just remember going to my friend's house who had turntables, and I didn't really know much, but, you know, he would do something, and I could kind of do it, I could understand it, and, you know, that's what really drew me to it was just scratching. I knew I could do it if I had turns at my house and I could practice. So, that's what it was. I worked for a year, started buying records little by little, and had my two little shitty fake 1200s, and, yeah, man, and I just started DJing in the bedroom.
Now, at what point did you meet up with Rock and Ev and start on the Dilated platform and move on from there?
That was much later, you know, the years after, like, you know, where I'd been through battles and, you know, locking in with the Beat Junkies, and, you know, it was kind of the same time I was kind of like, I wouldn't say retiring, but I knew, like, I wasn't really motivated by entering the next battle anymore.
Right.
I've been battling for like 3 or 4 years straight, burnt on that
trying to move to the next
schedule
level.
Of just like waiting for that one battle 4 months around the corner and just like dedicating my life to working at the gas station and practicing DJ routines and making mixtapes. Was like, you know, so I linked with my man Joe from Fat Beats in New York. I met him actually when I was out there battling, and he came out to LA and we met, and I didn't even know why. I thought we were just like, you know, we broke the ice and we were real cool. I thought we were just hanging, but, you know, he hits me, you know, how would you want to feel about managing Fat Beats Los Angeles? You know, so I became a co-manager of Fat Beats. I moved to LA, put me right in the epicenter of this, you know, this underground hip-hop scene happening. And that's about the same time I met Evan Rock. You know, Evan Rock were re-emerging as this new group, Dilated Peoples. You know, they had been under a record deal and did the whole thing, you know, 6 years before I even came into the fold. You know, they went through it, they made an album and found a way out of their contract and went through all this, change their name and resurface independently on ABB. It's about the same time I was here in LA DJing on the radio with the Soul Assassin show on the beat. I was I was co-managing at Fat Beats. I was just DJing all the time in the mix.
Engrossing the scene.
So, you know, I met them just, you know, them bringing records from Rainbow Records, Pressing Plant. You know, hey, we got this new 12-inch, man. Play on the radio, put it in your store. Like, turned into like, hey, you want to come down and do some cuts on a song? Hey, you want to come down and do this show at the Wheel Turn with us? And it just snowballed until, you know, this whole bidding war on us was going on, and they said, you know, we need to see if you want to be down for the long haul. And
committed.
And it was refreshing, man. So it was I was really bent on just DJing as a DJ, you know, like the gap between MCs and DJs at that point was kind of far, you know what I mean, like, you know, and Evan Rock's attitude was really refreshing, was you know, kind of rekindled my flame toward the whole idea of DJing for a rap group.
Right, so. You're part of the group, you know, not just definitely. Exactly. All right, now when can we expect the next Dilated project? I know the DVD releases upon us in about a month or so.
Right.
When can we expect the next album?
You know, Rock just dropped his solo album. You know, I got the
Crown
B-tape.
Of Thorns.
Exactly. All right. Crown of Thorns. No, that's Evidence's album is The Weatherman.
Weatherman. Oh, I thought you said Rock. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Yeah. Evidence's new album has already dropped, The Weatherman. I'm doing the B-tape and Duck Season coming soon, and then we're trying to time it so Rockus comes out maybe early 2008. That one's Rocka, Rocka Science, Crown of Thorns. And then, you know, we just finished our 4-album commitment, man, so it's like everyone's just stretching their arms and just trying to enjoy the freedom of not having that over hanging over our head, all that pressure.
It's nice been seeing you guys all been able to have your solo success. I mean, like with the Duck Season and now Ev. I mean, the album's ridiculous too. Loving the B-tape. Can't wait for Duck Season 3. Crown of Thorns is just real nice. And I can't wait to see you guys all come back and
definitely.
After that and put together on another album.
I think it's been overdue. Everyone,
right?
You know, we've always thought of ourselves as three individuals who make this group, and we always had planned for a time when we were all going to spread our wings as individuals,
stand as individuals,
come back together, and the team's even stronger. So, you know, Ev set the bar really high with The Weatherman. Like, I love the record, and it was a pleasure to be involved with it. But people think Dilate is breaking up or nothing, but
no,
it's just like, it's why we called this new project, this DVD, the release party, because it's a party, it's a celebration, man, and we're free of like being part of the machine, you know. And,
right.
You know, I think we're back where we belong. You know, we pimped them back. I think, you know, we garnered an international fan base through that machine and our hard work too. And you know, now we're free and we're just controlling our own careers and our lives right now. And there's just none of that no more, none of the BS anymore. And we're all really excited, man.
And it's appropriate. My next question was to touch on the Liquid Junkies project, and we got Tafari standing behind us, working in the studio as we speak. I gotta say, it's a fantastic album. It was just a real classic sound, man. It seems like a wonderful, natural collaboration.
We can go all the way to the top if you're not afraid, but you gotta believe in me. One day away. You gotta believe in us, Liquid Junkies. I don't really know if they ever gonna let my cousin go, if they ever gonna grant my due parole. All I know is they can't imprison his soul. You only one day away. When it all could change, when your whole matrix could rearrange, when your so-called friends acting strange, plotting on a nigga for a fortune and fame. Did I tell you that you're one day away?
That just makes sense to you guys, just to do that? How did that come about?
Yeah. You know, me and D, just, you know, friends through Dilated, obviously, and through the years, he's been like digging on my sound more and more, and I've always been a fan as a DJ anyways. And you know, it just started with him coming out to my home studio at my pad, and us just starting to bang songs, you know. And that one snowballed. All of a sudden we had an album's worth of material, and let's do this, let's call up Benny B at ABB and see what's up. So, you know, we're really deep into the second one right now. The new one's called Blood, Sweat and Tears, and you know, we're already about 14-15 cuts deep, and you're gonna see that sometime in early 2008 also. So right on the heels of Duck Season, we're going to be hitting that one out there. And, you know, me and D really, you know, the chemistry's just gotten stronger, and the work ethic is even more intense. And I can't wait for people to hear the new LJs. It's really me, again, getting to spread my wings on a, you know, not just on a production level, but a production level of an album as my palette. You know what I'm saying? Versus just one song. You know, each song's a universe, but, you know, I miss the days of one producer doing a whole album. That's, you know, that's why I've been trying to do things like Duck Season and LJ's. It's been that thing I wanted to do and show people, like, you know, I don't want to just, I'd like to like be a guest producer and get a song on so-and-so's album. That's sweet, you know what I mean? Like anything to build up my publishing and get more work out there, you know, it's great. But, you know, it wasn't like back in the day where you go to Quincy Jones to produce your record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you go to this guy for his sound and his.
Right.
It's not like that. You know, even up to new music, it's not like Gangstar, where you have DJ Premier to look forward to for a whole album's worth of work. Now it's more like a color by numbers. Okay, it's either you're dealing with these small handful of producers and these small handful of video directors.
Right.
And, you know, everything's so color by numbers now. It's like, you know, I just I'm trying to bring that back.
So. Hey, you know, be glad you are, man. The album, that's what I love about it. You get to listen to a sound, and that sound stays consistent the whole way through, and the arrangement is just on point. Let me just touch on one thing real quick. We know you're definitely a dilated junkie. Would you also consider yourself a sneaker junkie? Is there anything you drop any dollars into?
I mean, I do, but to be honest with you, I have so many addictions. It's like I can't even afford to like really take the shoe thing seriously, right, like some people I know. Like, but you know, I keep a couple nice pairs in the box for special occasions here and there. You know. But I'm far from being a certified sneaker fiend.
Right.
I kind of spend more of that dough on records and weed, if anything. You know, it's a lot of records. That's kind of one of my worst addictions right there.
It's a good addiction to have in your business.
A lot of good weed out here in Cali. So.
Cali green. All right, man. Now you look. Are you a mixed martial arts fan at all? What do you think about this Rampage Liddell fight? Who are you running with?
Wow, that's a tough one. You know, Liddell's a G,
right?
But what they fought before, right?
Right. One time, Rampage took him out.
See, and it's weird. It's one of those things. It's a tough call because it's one of those things where it's a matchup thing, because Liddell, you know, if they fought all the same dudes, Liddell would probably beat most of them.
Right.
Where Rampage necessarily, he probably wouldn't cross the board. I think just beat everybody.
Right.
But there's something about them when they meet up and they get heads up. Like, I don't know if Rampage got in his head or he found the angle or what it is. But it's a toss-up, man. I can't call it. You know, maybe Liddell's going to come back and science it and come back and get revenge. Or maybe it's going to turn into one of those things where Rampage has got his number. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, and it's not about either one being a better fighter necessarily. Right. You know what I mean?
Because better match.
Because technique-wise and pound-for-pound-wise, Liddell's probably the better fighter. You know, experience-wise, everything, like what his skills and tools are. You know, he might be technically on paper the better fighter. But there's that intangible of, like,
exactly,
what happens when these two hit. You know?
Exactly.
So,
no doubt.
But, you know, I'm not a super mixed martial art fan. I have to give it to my man, Rocca. He's been trained in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu for years. And he's a big fan of it, so you know what I mean? Like, we'll be on the tour bus, and he'll have, like, just fight tapes.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
like, the type of shit he watches before the show and
right,
shit, you know?
Get
so,
pumped up, too.
Exactly. Right. So.
Definitely. All right. Well, I got a few questions just about the industry in general, and definitely why it's so hard for legit West Coast artists, even up a more indie underground level, such as yourselves, and like especially Evidence with his latest release, why he's getting no love on the airplay, especially out here on the West Coast. I talked to people back on the East Coast, and he's getting spins. And what do you think that phenomenon is? Why is it just so, you know, we're just in the same 10 songs, you know what I mean? It's like the only time I can tune in is on a Sunday night
to
get real hip hop.
You know, I just think it's. It's just like the whole mentality of, like, you know, one company owning everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when it comes down to it, the record labels, the radio stations, I mean, my God, the venues, the billboards, you know, before we know it, they're all going to be owned by one thing. And within those realms, one thing already owns them anyways. Like, you know, the radio station department, like, that's owned really by just one or two companies. You know what I mean? Like, now the whole actual record industry and the pressing plants, it's like owned by one person. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like that, and pretty much, you know, a lot of these stations and like the whole cycle of payola and playing hot records and getting airtime and your ratings and getting advertising, this is what it equals. It equals a short list of music and fast food style music just to get people to listen for a long enough time.
Right.
And you know, there's still people out there doing it. You know, we got dudes like Julio G supporting cats. You know, we still got the Wake Up Show, thank God.
Thank God.
We still got things like KPFK, and we still got things like college radio, and of course, I love satellite radio. I love anything below the radar, YouTubing, podcasting, anything
that's
it's there. You know what I mean? There's different ways, and we don't need those angles. So, me personally, I'm not complaining. I'm not gonna be surprised when my song doesn't hit the radio.
Right.
Like, I really give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, I feel as if, like, I'm kind of an underdog in general, and I'm not trying to go there anyways, man. I'm trying to play below the radar and have a strong fan base of people who really are going to come out and support and be longtime fans versus just that fast food. You know, they like you for that 6 months, and then they forget about you, or they didn't even know you from the get. So,
right.
You know, I'm trying to build something with a little bit more longevity.
We're happy that you're here with Pirate Pods, and fans are definitely going to have an opportunity to listen and get a lot of insight to yourself and your projects, and we appreciate you taking the time. What can the fans do to support local hip-hop and make sure that you guys keep doing it and keep interested?
I say, you know, go to shows, you know, go and find out about independent music and buy that music, you know. you know, I'm not totally opposed to the whole download thing, but I think the biggest thing for artists is, you know, support them in some way, man. If you download their music, that's cool, man.
Buy the shirt.
But yeah, yeah, maybe you go to the concert and you buy a shirt. Maybe you pass, you know, your like word of mouth to a friend, man. Like, you know, instead of letting them burn it, like, nah, man, go buy it, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like wear that shirt around town after you buy it. You know, like just little things like that. I think are cool, man. And you know, instead of like just being told what you should be listening to and what should be played on the radio and what's getting shoved down your throat, if you just dig a little deeper, there's a lot of great music out there for any genre and for, you know, any time. I think it's always been that. It's a big cycle of like there's a lot of this commercial stuff on top when a genre gets exploited, but you know, below the surface there's always something pure and unadulterated going on if you just look hard enough. And you know, I'm not one to just sit here and complain and whine about it, you know, because the second we're on the radio and we're on there all day, we're not going to want to be on there anyways because no one will like us anymore because we're too popular.
Right, exactly. You know, and then
I wasn't meant to be competing with, you know, Yin Yang Twins and stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? That's not where I really am trying to compete. You know, I'm not trying to win a Grammy. You know what I mean? If shit like that happens, so be it. But it wasn't my main intention.
Yeah,
my main intention was to make some junk that I would bump in my car personally and I'd play as a DJ. And if anything else comes along with that, beautiful, man. You know? But if not, it's all good. I just want to make another one. So.
Yo, we're waiting and we're loving it. And just really quickly, now the dilated sound system with Rocka, do you want to elaborate
Expansion
real quick
team
on
that? Sound system. That's myself and Rocka, and you know, it's something we've been doing for a few years now. You know, here in LA, the Beat Junkies have a night every second Saturday of the month at the Knitting Factory. It's called Nightlife, and it's just basically a rotating cast of the Junkies and Rocka as our host every month, and it's just a good 21 and over get down hip hop thing that's been going on for, man, 7-8 years now. So just something we do to have fun, and it's always a good turnout, and it's a lot of girls and a lot of guys, and you know, we play that real shit, but it's on some real mature hip hop.
Yeah,
good
definitely.
Time people drink and have a good time and dance, and but we're playing the real shit. And so you know, me and Rocka have been doing that on top of just going out and rocking parties together, and that's what Expansion Team Sound System is. We go out and party with the people, have a good time. I play for 2 hours. I'll just come to a town, play for 2 hours, and Rock is hosting and toasting and out in the crowd he's out in the crowd toasting with them and having drinks and just keeping the party live and keeping it moving. So it's just something we do in between you know, dilated stuff and my stuff and his stuff, and just a quick way to just go out and travel and see the world and touch the people and keep them abreast of things that's going on with us and the dilated camp in general. So
right, man, that's what we love about you. You guys are always down to earth, and it's not, you know, it's not, it's easy to feel a part of the movement and feel real things. We get to see you with the venues, you take the time to stop, talk,
definitely.
Get into the crowd and get with the people, man.
Definitely, man, definitely.
It's always what keeps us in support. Now, we just want to thank you again for supporting our medium, thepiratepods.com, you know,
definitely.
So the fans can get on, download your podcast, know what Babu's saying. And we want to wish you all the best success with the beat tape, with Duck Season coming in the future.
Appreciate
DVD
that.
Release party.
That's what's
Looking
up.
Forward to all of it. You're a dangerous man who speaks with your hands, and we're definitely happy to have you speaking in person here with PyroPods.com.
That's what's up.
Babu, good looking out, man.
Good looking out.
Definitely.
Much love to PyroPods. This is Babu. Check me out, www.myspace.com/DJBabu, /dilatedpeoples/beatjunkies, and yeah, man, look out for everything. Much love to everybody out there. Peace.